foundation a stone. I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone. A tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, a sure foundation. A tried stone, a precious cornerstone, he that believeth shall not make haste.
This is the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible, the prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord, blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come, exposing apostasy and the developing one world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. This is News and Analysis with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. Powell should resign. That's exactly right. You say, how could you say such a terrible thing? Well, it's not because I'm not patriotic. It's just that when you consider some of the hierarchy in our government, I would say it makes me very, very disappointed because there are those in our government who do not understand the biblical mandates for the nation of Israel. And since his appointment as Secretary of State, Colin Powell has on several occasions misjudged his assessment of world affairs, which has resulted in numerous failures of U.S. policy. For example, the delay in utilizing U.S. troops in the Afghanistan war permitted many of the terrorists to flee and become an even greater threat to the United States. The idea of sending Middle East envoy, retired Marine General Anthony Zinni, to mediate with Yasser Arafat and the Palestinians is also doomed to failure from the start. Zinni's latest trip to the region, announced by President Bush, could very well also end in failure. Israel's initiative offensive, Bush dispatches envoy. And now comes Powell's attempt to sacrifice our ally, the Democratic State of Israel, so as to appease the terrorist states. This I consider another blunder. How many more foreign policy disasters do we have to endure before Powell resigns? This, of course, was a comment that was mentioned in the USA Today by Anton T. Lau, New York, New York. Now, depending on what time and when this broadcast will be aired, I say to you, no matter any time now or in the future, somebody in our government rises up and does not understand the biblical mandate for Israel and is not pro-Israel. God, you better watch out for these people. God has said in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, read it for yourself, I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curses thee. And I'll tell you one thing, I would be on the side of Israel. I would be on the side of the Jew. You say, well, how can you be on the side of the Jew? Well, because Israel is the apple of God's eye. And if they've done wrong, God will chastise them, just like he's done in the past. But I'm not going to go against them. No way. No way am I going to go against Israel. And not only that, God has plans for Israel in the future. That's exactly right. These are his special, special people. Interesting that Jewish leaders have condemned anti-Semitic statements made by evangelist Billy Graham to President Richard Nixon 30 years ago, as heard on newly released White House tapes describing what he sees as Jewish control of the media. Graham tells Nixon, quote, this stranglehold has got to be broken or this country's going down the drain. Now, 83, the evangelist says he deeply regretted making the comments. But Abraham Foxman, head of the Anti-Defamation League, told the report, the Jewish report, which I'm quoting from, it is shameful. It is shameful that one of our America's most respected religious leaders and spiritual advisors, presidents, believed and espoused classical anti-Semitic rhetoric. I'll tell you one thing, I don't know, but this is not new. I mean, there is a lot of anti-Semitism in the United States. And it has permeated many facets and many places of our society. And I just don't get it. I just don't get it. This Billy Graham, I mean, probably by the time you hear this broadcast, he might not even be alive. I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. It don't matter when you hear this broadcast. Anybody, whether it's Billy Graham, anybody, I don't care how biblical they proclaim to be or how scriptural they think they are, when you start making comments like that, you are in trouble with the God of Israel, is all I got to say. Now, obviously, he made this thing 30 years ago, and he probably really does regret it, but surely, I don't know if he's ever, it's easy to regret things when you're exposed. Sure is. If you sow this kind of stuff, you're eventually going to reap problems, and then that's what's happened to him. And as far as being America's most respected religious leader, one of the most, well, he is. But I'll tell you one thing, I don't have a lot of respect for someone who don't believe in hellfire. I'll tell you one thing, the Bible teaches there is a hellfire, the Bible teaches a lake of fire, and I've heard him out of my own two ears that he does not believe, he believes that hell is a, he says what the hell is, it's a separation, it's the suffering of being separated from God. Listen, if you're not born again, you're already separated from God, and it's not going to be any loss to you, but to know that there will be outer darkness, to know that there'll be gnashing of teeth, to know that there'll be unquenchable fire, to know that's where the worm dieth not, to know that there'll be everlasting punishment from the presence of God. Well, that's what the Bible says. Now, Billy Graham one time, well, he preached it. He preached all that good stuff. He preached against communism. He preached against easy believism. He preached against the liberals and the modernists. And now he's friends with them all. I don't know. Well, I tell you what, the old saying is true. It's not how you start out that really matters. It's how you end up. Yes, sir-ia. Would to God, by the grace of God, that I remain true to what I stand for 30 years from now. And I'll tell you one thing. You got to be careful what you say, because they'll come home to roost. What goes around comes around, folks. Yes, sirree. Now listen, Billy Graham, he might mean well, and I can't judge his heart. No way. I cannot judge his heart. I cannot judge his motivation. I'm not about to do that. I mean, as far as I can tell, he's a nice guy. But there's some things that he's done in the last 20 years that, it's just really upset the apple cart. Let's put it that way. I mean, it's really has caused a lot of problems among those who are Bible believers. And, this thing about helping the one world religious system and getting involved in the ecumenical movement and putting his blessing on the Pope and all kinds of things like that just about makes me want to throw up. This is just so contrary to what he used to preach. The Bible says that he would rather have hot or cold, but anything lukewarm, he's going to spew it out of his mouth. And so, I don't know, it's sad, is all I can say. It's just plain old sad. And, I just wanted to read that, because even some great men, supposedly some great men, can say some really stupid things at times. And, what about it? What about it? Does the Jews have a stranglehold on this country? I mean, that is absolutely absurd. It is true that God has blessed the Jew with some brains, you know. Amen. That's right. God has blessed them with some, as they say, some chutzpah, some boldness, some willpower, some determination to achieve. God's blessed them. And by the way, without the Jew, son, we wouldn't have a Bible today. That's right. The New Covenant, New Testament says it was committed unto them, the Jew, the oracles of God. Hey, let me tell you something about the Jew that some of you ingrates don't appreciate. That without the Jew, you wouldn't have the plan of salvation. Do you know that? The Bible says salvation is of the Jew. Let me repeat myself now. Salvation is of the Jew. And for those of you that claim to be a Christian, let me say something about that. You claim to be a Christian and you don't have love for the Jew. Hell, I'll tell you one thing. That's an oxymoron if I ever heard one. How can you claim to be a Christian? How can you claim to follow Jesus Christ and say you don't love the Jews? How can you say that? How can you say that? That is a conflicting of terms. You don't understand what you're saying. Hey, don't you understand that Jesus Christ came out of the seed of David? Don't you understand that Jesus Christ is a Jew, was a Jew, is a Jew? He's the King of the Jews. Hallelujah. And he's going to reign for 1,000 years in the millennial kingdom. I'll tell you one thing. Don't tell me you're a Christian and you don't have a love for the Jews. Something wrong with you, son. Now, you might be mistaught. You might be ignorant. Oh, I can understand that. But if you read your Bible for very long, you'll know that God loves the people of Israel. That's right. He loves them. Let me repeat myself. He loves the people of Israel. Let me just tell you something about how much God loves Israel. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 10, for the Bible says, for the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. He's talking about Israel here. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. So God says his kindness will not depart from Israel. And God says that he will have and continues to have mercy upon Israel. Now, while we're on the subject here about Israel and the land of Israel, I'm going to kind of read some articles. And some may ask, well, Well, why don't you give the dates of these articles? And I really decided some time ago I wouldn't do that because I believe that most of this information is as relevant yesterday as it is today and as relevant today as it will be tomorrow. This is just the way history pans out, and this is the way the Bible has prophesied it. This information is very relevant. And by the way, history does repeat itself in more ways than one. But leading up to some main points that I have in mind, these were some of the responses across the Arab world regarding the September 11th attack. Now, whether you hear this today, or whether you hear this next month, or whether you hear this program next millennial, that's how they one way. Hey, listen, unless the Lord comes, this is the enmity that the Bible talks about, the enmity, the deep hatred that has always existed between the majority of the Arab nations against Israel. And you might say, well, why is it? I'll tell you why. Because this is a satanic conspiracy against the Jews, what it is. And these Arab countries, whether they realize it or not, are being used by the devil himself to undercut, to undermine, and to seek to destroy the Jews. Now, Muslims struggle with divergent views. Faisal al-Ba'at, a writer for the Al-Watan, this is in Qatar, he said some countries believe that whoever committed September 11th attacks should be jailed. Some believe they should be killed. Others think that they are the shining stars in our endless nights. Arabs and Muslims are not united even in this critical situation. This may be is why the United States decided to strike Afghanistan without even consulting with Islamic nations. Well, it's apparent that the reason why they didn't consult with Islamic nations is because Islamic nations would not fight against another Islamic nation, to put it just bluntly. Here is a editorial or a newspaper article written by Hashim Kara in the Al-Watan, same country, Qatar. Osama bin Laden's message was simple and clear. He said that the Americans will not live in peace as long as the Palestinians live under the Israeli occupation and as long as U.S. military troops are stationed in the Arabian Peninsula. Bin Laden's message is the same message that most Muslims want to deliver. Killing bin Laden does not mean that the message will die. Now, as reported in the country of Indonesia, the Jakarta Post in the editorial, we most deeply regret the fact that the United States and its allies have ultimately deemed it necessary or appropriate to use military force against the Taliban in Afghanistan. Although this country supports the U.S. in its fight against terrorism, any action against a sovereign country takes against another must be done under the auspices of the United Nations. Well, did they not read the newspapers? Did they not read what was coming out of the world leading countries, Russia, European countries, many, many countries across the world condemned it? How else are you going to fight terrorism unless you get to the terrorists? Another editorial, quote, the U.S. attacks are a combination of pride, absurdity, and high risk. Well, this is from supposedly our friends, Indonesians. Here, some articles from Lebanon. Mr. Salman, in his column for the As Safar, I felt very sad. I had hoped that bin Laden was not responsible for the attacks that killed thousands of innocent people. Before these remarks, bin Laden was innocent. Now he is condemned. How can he expect support from Muslims, and what kind of jihad is he calling for? Well, at least this guy has some sense about him. But the reality was that bin Laden's been linked with many of the notorious terrorist attacks in the last 5 to 10 years. Here in a column by Al-Kayaki in the Al-Sharaq, quote, he said President Bush's decision to start the war in Afghanistan before the Conference of Islamic Countries is not a coincidence. The Americans decided to narrow down the options Islamic countries have and did not even allow these regimes to express their points of view. This war will be a foundation for a new phase of chaos all over the world. And let me say something. This is a flat-out lie. The United States government did consult every major leader in the world, especially those that had some basis. That is why the United States did not attack Afghanistan, by the way, right away. Okay, here's some articles from Egypt. Mansour from the Al-Haram. It is true that bin Laden is insignificant compared to U.S., but he managed to make her miserable, mock her power, and undermine absolute confidence in her capabilities. Well, that sounds real pro-Israel, doesn't it, Mr. Mansour? And when you consider that the United States pumps in millions and millions of dollars into your country, let me say something. You got some nerve. You know, what really bothers me about some of the Egyptians and the majority of Egyptians and their attitude towards Israel, what really bothers me is that without a man called Joseph in the Bible, there wouldn't be Egypt today. You realize that Joseph the Jew, without him, there wouldn't be an Egypt today. Now, if you're an Egyptian, some of our broadcasts go all over the world. I want you to listen now. I don't hate you. No, no, no. But I'll tell you one thing. You better thank the Jew that you even are existent today. You realize that God raised up Joseph. He was second in command to Pharaoh. That's right. Read your history books. And you know that the wisdom that God gave Joseph, that they put away enough food for 7 years of famine. That's exactly right. And they came from all around the world. Without Joseph the Jew, without Joseph the Jew, the nations of the world, especially Egypt, wouldn't be alive today. Hey, let me tell you something. God turned Egypt's river to blood, her streets to heaps of frogs, her houses to swarms of flies, her sands to lice, her flocks to pestilence, her flesh to boils, her trees to flaming hailstones, her crops to locusts, her skies to darkness, and her firstborn to death. Hey, listen, don't you ever forget what God did to Egypt when they went against the Jew. Here's another article from Egypt by Said Sambol Al-Akbar. Quote, he said, despite bin Laden's failure to confess frankly his responsibility for the attacks or his relationship to the perpetrators, his describing them as a group of Muslim pioneers is telling. He rules out the Israeli Mossad from the planning and executing of this operation, and this was a widespread assumption in Arab circles. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? Accusing Israel for the September 11th attack on the Twin Towers. Can you believe that? The gall, the nerve. I mean, it's just plain stupidity. It's plain old-fashioned anti-Semitism raising its ugly satanic head once again. Well, that's what I'm saying, and that's me now, folks. I'm saying that, Dr. K. Daniel Freed. Now, the Egyptian paper didn't say what I just said in response to what the Egyptian paper said. The Egyptian paper said, alluding to the fact that it was the assumption in the Arab circles, and this editor's assumption, it appears to me, that the Israeli Mossad, he's saying, has something to do with this thing. Can you believe it? Out of this world. Now from the West Bank, Hani al-Masri, I'm sorry, from the Al-Yam. Quote, he said, while the Palestinian people are touched by the statement of bin Laden, I feel like throwing up right now reading this thing. They remember the failure of some countries that tried to use the Palestine problem when they were in danger or at war. Such countries and parties will refer to the Palestinian issue only when they think that it is a sure way to win sympathy from the Arabs and Muslims. Here's another one from the West Bank. Al-Quds editorial said, we expect Arabs and Muslims will develop an initiative to stop the war and destruction and affirm that Arabs and Muslims reject terrorism and are ready to fight it. The Arab and Islamic nations also have the right to ask the United States about the continuous tragedy in Iraq and about the indefinite support it has in providing for Israel. Well, it just goes with the flow, I guess. Yes, indeed. It sure goes with the flow. Here's some articles from Saudi Arabia. Remember now, without United States, folks, there wouldn't be a Saudi Arabia today. Just remember the Gulf War now, folks. This is what Saudi Arabia newspaper says from the Arab News in an editorial. Quote, unless Washington can do a better job of proving that the violent retribution on which it is now embarked is against all forms of terrorism, Israel included, its support will disappear and the world will become an even darker place than it seems now. Al Redai, in an editorial, said from Saudi Arabia, with such an unequal war, the real victims are the Afghans people who shed their blood simply because they're the weakest faction impacted by this war. Hey, that gets me upset. I mean, this is righteous indignation against this garbage they're saying from the Saudi Arabian papers. Can you believe it? The goal, hey, we're pumping a million of tax, our tax dollars, folks. We should rise up and protest. We shouldn't pay, give them a dime. It just blows my mind. From Turkey, Hasan Samal, in a column for the Milliyet, quote, he said, this is certainly not a war against Islam, but against those who made terror their profession in the name of Islam. Well, I guess to some degree he is making some sense. But if you look at true Islam, I mean, if you look at Islam, you look at what the Quran says these poor people ought to be doing. You can't blame the Islamic countries for the way they act, because their own Quran incites them to do such things. Read it for yourself. If you don't get that conclusion, I'll pay you back for the waste of money that you bought the Quran for. Here, Hasan Karakaya, in a column for the Akit, quote, he said, Turkish soldiers should work toward protecting our country's borders, not toward fulfilling America's rights. All right. Well, anyway, that's ridiculous. All right. That's just outright ridiculous. Hey, by the way, how about Kuwait? Let's see what they have to say. And then we're going to have to break here. Kuwait says, he said in the editorial, he said, it is not in Washington's interest that desperation should rule in the Middle East, home to so many Arabs and Muslims, especially when theirs is a just cause. Oh, is that right? Here's another article. Abdel Latif Al-Duje, a column for Al-Kabaz. It is the right of the United States, just like any Muslim country, to defend itself and to protect its citizens. Well, hooray! Finally, some sense. Again, Kuwait ought to know that without the United States and without God, they wouldn't exist today. Jordan, Sultan Hatam, columnist, he said, we must be careful not to fall in the same trap twice, because the tragedy of the siege in Iraq continues and because promises made to us at the time of the last alliance have not been fulfilled yet. Here's another one from Jordan, Hussein Al-Rashad, columnist for the Al-Dustur. Quote, he said, America may win militarily, but as America's repeated experiences in wars show, it will not achieve its declared objective of eliminating terrorism unless it realizes that this new enemy has his reasons and that the U.S. bears much that merits reform and change. Well, that's a bunch of garbage. That is a bunch of garbage. Listen, there is never justification for terrorism. Never. It is cold-blooded murder. These quotations were taken from the USA Today. The news that I've been quoting from, the source of the news provided, and the news items, courtesy of Zion News International. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Now we invite you to continue to stay with us for another 30 minutes of good broadcasting regarding the Jews and the issues pertaining to the nation of Israel and what the Bible has to say about it. If you're interested in this, we know you'll not be disappointed. If you have a love for the Jewish people, or if you even have questions about their existence, oh my, you need to stay tuned and find out what the Bible says about it. But if you must leave, we sure like you to come back next time. But until then, would you please write us and let us know that you've enjoyed this broadcast, or if you have any questions at all, we'll do our very best to answer you. Now, please write us at the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, PowderSprings, Georgia, or GA, 30127 USA. If you're interested in helping keep this program on the air, please send any gifts to this address, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127 USA. We're also accepting King James Bibles in good condition. This helps us to distribute these Bibles throughout the world. There are thousands, tens of thousands of people that are begging us for Bibles throughout the world. And we do our best to send them Bibles, but they're very expensive. So if you would do what you can to help us keep our supply going, we would be very thankful to you. Now, please continue to stay tuned now to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. Invite your family, your friends, your business associates, anybody that has an interest in the Jewish question as to whether they should exist or not. Now, the Bible has a lot to answer to that, but if you have a love for the Jew, you know what the answer is already. Yes, indeed. They are God's chosen people, the apple of His eye.
Showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven. There is no God like thee earth, O Lord God of Israel.
Thank you for joining us for this last half an hour of the Hope Israel Baptist broadcast. And this is Dr. K. Daniel Freed. I'm so glad you're listening right now. And if you would do us a great favor, I'd appreciate it if you'd write us and give us the call letters of this station and the time that you're listening. That would be very helpful to us. And you're about to hear another part of the series I preached some time ago on the tabernacle in the wilderness. And this is where God met his people out there in the wilderness, and how many wonderful truths that we can learn about it. So stay tuned to this, and you'll enjoy and receive a great blessing. The only thing I ask is that you will have an obedient heart, a teachable spirit, and a desire to know the will of God for your life. It doesn't limp. It has both eyes are working fine. Amen. The coat is nice and white. And as far as I know, this is a good sacrifice. But then I bring it in. I come through the gate. And I bring it in. And the priest takes that lamb. And he says, well, all right, you want to come and have a sacrifice? Well, I guess we're going to have to really see if it is a good sacrifice. Amen? What you worried about? I'm not going to hurt you, all right? Now, son, come up here. All right, here's my son. He's the firstborn. Firstborn. The Bible says if it's going to be a Passover lamb, it has to be the first year. Amen? A male the first year. We have any other males of the first year here? Who's the firstborn son? Anybody else we got? Come up here, son. All right, you look like you got a lot of meat on you. Amen. All right, anybody else? Anybody else got a firstborn son? Come on. Nobody else a firstborn son here? Man, alive. Well, okay. Well, this should do it. We could get a lot of stuff out of here. All right. Just turn around this way, Simeon. Okay. All right, yeah. Okay, turn around this way. All right, now, there's two lambs I brought into the gate, ready for the Passover sacrifice. Now, I want you to make sure everybody knows that you are not a heifer, but you're really a lamb, okay? Now, how's the lamb speak? What does the lamb say? Can you do that? All right, now let's do it together. Ready? Louder. 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 All right. No, it's not a heifer. It's a lamb, all right? Now, in Israel, folks, I've been at the slaughterhouses in Israel. What, they'd have all these lambs, they'd be on this conveyor belt. They've got kind of, technology and everything. They do kind of fast now. And they're on this conveyor belt, and there's going to be a trap door right here. And this lamb doesn't realize it, but this is going to be the best day in his life. He'll never hunger again. He'll never cry again. Amen? It will be the best time in his life. I'm a rabbi, I get paid $50,000 a year, all I do is cut necks, that's all I do. And here I've been waiting for this great day. And what's going to happen, he's going to come over here, he's going to go down this trap door, chains are going to come about his legs, I'm going to have this big this hatchet here, and this big sharp knife, and I'm going to cut his neck as fast as I can, after I've said a prayer of devotion. See how merciful I am? I'm going to cut that neck. Blood's going to be gushing out. Then I'm going to cut his chest open. And I'm going to inspect something. This is what we're going to do. All right, son, you're the firstborn. I want you to come. Just come over here. All right. I take his neck back there, and I say a little prayer. Baruch Adonai Eloheinu. And blood's gushing all over the place. Hallelujah. And then I cut his chest open. All right, I pull back his chest, and I check the lungs. All right, no spots on his lungs. He's a good sacrifice. Isn't that great? And then, of course, I'm not going to do it because I hurt my knee. But what I would normally do is I lift him up, and away he would go. Amen? And, right, and all the blood would be gushing out for about 3 hours. Ugh. Woo. Whew. I'm getting too old for this, son. Now, is this your son? Is your nephew? All right. All right. How about it? A willing sacrifice. He came willingly. All right, you may be seated. I don't have insurance to cover you. Well, let's assume I cut him open and I found some spots on his lungs. I got in the gate. They inspected his lungs. I'm sorry, you're going to have to go back and get another one. He did not bring a worthy sacrifice. And see, I think that's what's wrong with a lot of our church members. They're coming to church, and they're going through the motions, but in reality, they're not bringing the right stuff with them. What's the right stuff? Repentant heart, a desire to do the will of God, a desire to get saved, a desire to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. Amen? They realize they cannot get saved by being a good person. They realize there's nothing they can do to earn salvation. But Jesus is the author and finisher of their faith. He's the only one that paid the price for their sins. And by the way, He's the only sacrifice worthy to pay for our sins. He was without blemish, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. But Moses couldn't do that. He wasn't worthy. Paul wasn't worthy. Only the Lord Jesus Christ was worthy. So, I'm saying all this to say this, and that you can get in here. You can have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. There's a lot of people have learned to play the game. They know how to put on the Christian smile. They know how to put on the Christian dress. They know how to put on the Christian language. You go to some of these houses there, you knock on the door and say, "Are you saved?" "Yeah, I'm saved." "Are you born again?" "Yeah, I'm born again." But they don't know anything about being born again. They think being born again is by when they got baptized when they were a baby. Right? So they have the language, but they have no reality. And you come to church and you act like you've read your Bible every day, but nobody knows that you haven't read your Bible today, right? If I was to do a little examination, ask you how many people have read your Bible, you should have read your Bible at least twice a day already. I mean, that's the pattern in the Old Testament. I'm not teaching legalism, I'm just teaching example, amen? And I ask you how many people have read their Bible at least twice today, I wonder how many could do that. Say, "Yeah, I've read my Bible twice today," see? But we come in and we come as act like we are all right. And this is the thing. Now folks, I will not be satisfied with just being here in the inner court. I'm not going to just be satisfied. Remember, Eli was in here. He's the high priest. And his sons actually did the service of the tabernacle. And they went in there. They went in there. And they took that strange fire. And what happened? God roasted them. Right? Nobody with sin in his heart can go inside here and start offering incense unto God. I don't care how right you get everything on paper. It don't matter how right you get everything on the outside. But you're not going to get in here and live. Because you'll become the sacrifice. Amen? God will roast you. God will kill you. You know, there's a lot of people that take the Lord's table. The Bible says you better examine yourself. That you don't take the Lord's table unworthily. Because if you take it unworthily, the Bible says that that's the reason why many sleep and many are sick among you. And I'm not talking about the people sleeping and snoring. I'm talking about the people sleeping that are dead. I'm talking about committing the sin unto death. Yeah. And that's providing you're saved. But I don't believe that Eli's sons were saved. I believe they were reprobates. The things that they did. But see, they got in the gate. They were actually doing the sacrificing. But you know, the fruit of the pudding. But you never get inside here. We're busy walking around here, back and forth. And I tell you right now, this inner court is a symbol of lost church members right here. Lost church members. It's also a symbol of backsliding Christians. We're walking back and forth. We're not doing the work of God. We're not serving God. We got sin in our heart. We're going through the motions, but we've never been able to get into the Holy of Holies. I'll tell you what. I've been around for a little bit, and I don't claim to know everything. I already told you that. But I have learned a couple of things in my ministry. And that is, most Christians are too busy walking right around here. They're too busy around here, but they've never gotten into the holy place. And there's a lot of church members thinking that because they came into the gate, they're saved. Now, they're just busy walking around. But they have no concept of communing with God. They have no concept of serving God. And you're not going to serve God, and you're not going to fellowship with God until you get inside the holy place. I want to fellowship with Him. I want to have sweet communion with Him. Amen? I know what fellowship's like. And I want to get in there. I'm not happy simply recognizing Christ as my sacrifice. Now, if you did by faith, if you came through the way, Jesus is the way, you came through that way. You came through that way, the Eastern Gate. You presented that sacrifice. It was unblemished. You looked at Jesus. He is the author and finisher of faith. And symbolically, He died for you at the brazen altar. So that's when you got saved. And then you're reading the Word of God. Amen? You're reading the Word of God. But how many Christians are reading the Word of God? You're not going to even get inside here unless you read the Word of God. Well, you're reading the Word of God. You're being cleansed by the Word of God. You have your sins are being confessed. You desire the things of God. You have that longing to fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will not be satisfied until you get into the door. Now, Jesus said, I am the door. There's only one door. But only Christians are going to get inside that door. Because if you try to get inside that door and you're not a Christian, God's going to kill you. That's number one. Number two, if you are a Christian and you try to get inside that door and you have sin in your heart, He's going to kill you. That's the sin unto death. One is eternal damnation and one is sin unto death where you lose your reward. So, folks, the labor. I would say one of the most neglected things in a Christian's life is reading the Word of God, having their feet washed, their hands washed, and having the Lord Jesus Christ cleaning them up from the things of the world. I told you Moses was up there in Mount Sinai, and for 6 days, God did not even speak to him for 6 days. It wasn't until the 7th day that God opened His mouth. And I believe it took 6 days for Moses to get the world out of his head. Amen? And if you want to get into the holy place, you're going to have to bask yourself in the Word of God. This is what I'd recommend you to do. I've done this for years. And I set goals for myself. Sometimes I think I've set too a higher goal for me, but I'd rather have a higher goal than a lower goal. But this is a good thing to do. Number one, make sure that you've come in the right way. Amen? Once you get into the right way, make sure that Jesus Christ has become your sacrifice. And nothing less and nothing more. He is your blood sacrifice. Then, make sure you have the right Bible. Now, you could try all day long to wash your feet with the NIV, and you're not going to get anything done. Amen? Now, if you look at the rest of Christianity, they call themselves Christians. Amen. We're Christians. We're Tim LaHaye's and Dobson's and Charles Stanley's and all this and all these guys. And we believe you'll grow as a Christian, but you don't need the King James Bible. What you need is the Living Bible, the Good News for Martyred Man. You'll get to know how about God and about how to draw close to God. And I'm telling you, there's no way under heaven that's going to ever happen like that. Because they're not getting cleaned up by the pure Word of God. Amen? They're trying to get cleaned up by a perverted book. Now, you look at it. Look at them. Those new evangelicals. I talk about the Chuck Swindells, the Charles Stanleys, all those guys. They're all about the same. They tickle your ears and make you feel good about yourself. The Robert Schulers, the ones that pump you up and say, we all got to have self-esteem. No, we don't have to have self-esteem. If there's any esteem we ought to have, it ought to be in Jesus. Amen? He ought to be our righteousness. Not by righteousness, not our righteousness. We have nothing to offer Him. Our esteem, our confidence, our control, our abilities ought to be in Him. By Him, not by us. But if you look at those people out there, guess what? They're worldly. They live like the world. And the music is of the world. They're into this so-called Christian rock. I told you there's no such thing as Christian rock. Just like there's no such thing as a Christian drunk. Amen. I mean, that's not Christ-like. The women run around with shorts and the men run around without T-shirts and they go to beaches and they go to the movies and they go to Disney World and they like Vanity Fair and they like all that stuff and it doesn't bother them and they live like the world. Now you telling me they're getting washed by the Word of God? You see, if they were in the Word of God would prick their heart. The Word of God would rebuke them. The Word of God would reveal to them what they should do and what they shouldn't do. But that's not the way it is. Most of the churches today, they're using the wrong Bible, therefore they're not going to get true cleansing. Now, folks, listen. I know the Bible doesn't say everything I need to do. That is clear to me. I mean, God doesn't get into minute details about everything. But do we have to see it to believe it? Do we have to see God give us minute details? Like, let me get on the thing about cigarettes. Now listen, I have met some people come to me and say, I'm a Christian, but I still smoke cigarettes. And they'll tell me there's nothing in the Bible wrong with smoking cigarettes. And they look at me as sincere as anybody else would. Now, do we need the Bible to tell us that cigarettes are forbidden for a Christian to smoke cigarettes? Do we need that? Do we need it in the Bible? I thought we were the temple of the Holy Ghost. I thought we were the tabernacle of God. And I'll tell you one thing. If we're the tabernacle of God, we better glorify God in our body. Everything we do with this body, we better say, would Jesus do it? What would you think if Jesus had a cigar in his mouth? Huh? Would that look right? If Jesus was smoking a cigarette, would that look right? If Jesus had a beer can in his hand, would that look right? You know the answer to that. It wouldn't look right. It wouldn't be right. The Bible says, can I get an amen on that? I can't see anybody. Oh, well, there we go. Can I get an amen on that? Well, I got to see it in the Bible, otherwise I'm not going to do it. Well, if you're saved, the Holy Ghost is bothering you about it. You don't have to understand everything you do or don't do. You just need to yield to the Holy Ghost, and He'll tell you what to do and what not to do. Amen? So I've just kind of given an example there. But here's the thing, folks. If you're not in the Word of God every day like you should be, and I read the Old Testament in the morning, my goal is to read 9 chapters in the morning, Old Testament. 9 chapters? Yeah. The more you do it, the easier it gets. I read it, 9 chapters, but I don't always get to read 9 chapters. But if that's my goal, even if I got to read 3 chapters in the morning, that's still better than most of you, amen? Hallelujah. So, I set a high goal for me. I seek to read 9 chapters in the morning. Then in the afternoon, I read Psalms, 8 chapters in Psalms. Sometimes that's kind of easy, amen? They're not that long. And I read 1 chapter of Proverbs. There's 31 chapters, one for every day of the month. Usually, it's 31 days in the month. In the evening, I read 9 chapters of the New Testament. So that's, what, 27 chapters a day. Man alive, you say, man, you must really be a spiritual fella, amen? No, I'm not saying I'm spiritual. I'm just saying to you, you could put an Alexander Scorby tape inside your tape recorder and listen to Alexander Scorby read from the King James Bible, and he'll read to you 7-8 chapters in about 40 minutes. Now, if you could listen to it, you could read it too, amen? And I'm saying to you, folks, that the old-timers was in the Bible, in the Word of God. They prayed and read and devoted themselves in the morning, in the noon, and in the evening. Amen? And so, but you're not going to come into the holy place when you have a sin in your life that you're unwilling to confess. You're not going to come into the holy place if you're not reading your Bible like you should. You're not going to come into the holy place if you don't come to the church meetings like you should. You're not going to come into the holy place if you're not giving like you should. Are we happy tonight? Amen? I'm trying to cover everything I can possibly think of tonight. You're not going to get into the holy place unless you get rid of that sin that's so easily besetting your life. I may not know it. Your pastor may not know it. But you know what it is, and you ought to get rid of it. You ought to forsake it. And if you do that, as a Christian now I'm talking, then you can come in to the holy place. Well, I wish to God that every Christian would have the experience of being in the holy place.
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent. That is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against a holy God, with sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire. Receive Christ the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by His own blood, and call upon Him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to His Word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by free will offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your free will donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew-English New Covenant, also known as a New Testament, please request a copy. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question, is prophecy unveiled? If you are not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us for other times of our broadcasts and to get a free catalog of tapes and literature. Let us know you're listening to our broadcasts. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings that you may be drawn closer to Him. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again every weekday at the same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.